Hi, this is Dean Kuntz. Welcome to my podcast. Right now, as I'm recording this, we've just been through several days of terrible wildfires in California. Many of them arson set, as they often are. Makes you wonder about the darkness of the human soul, which is what I've been wondering about for my entire career. We went through actually three wildfires, which were much more, which impinge much more on us than this one is. This one has been at a considerable distance, although we're surrounded by smoke. But we were once living in another part of the county, and I woke up one morning, and Jerda and I were sitting at the dining room table, or at the breakfast room table, looking out at the backyard, reading the paper, and all of a sudden I noticed the sky was absolute black. It was thunderhead black. But this was in California in September, October, when we never get storms. We never get much rain at all in those months, if any. And so I knew when I looked out the windows there was something odd about this. And I said to Jerda, is it supposed to rain today? Are we supposed to have unseasonable rain? No, she hadn't seen anything. She looked at the newspaper. It says it's supposed to be sunny. So I went out front, stood looking up at the sky, and it was a very unusual sky. It had this fast-moving clouds very low overhead, and they were moving very rapidly. I didn't know that it was smoke at first because there wasn't any smell of smoke. Sometimes the movement of the thermals prevents the smoke or the heat or the ash from falling down. It just pushes it overhead at a very rapid rate of speed. And I saw some other fellows, some neighbors, and they were sort of looking up at the sky, and I started to walk up there to see what was going on. And as I was walking up there, there was just a little part in this blackness, and through it I saw a fiery red sky, and I knew suddenly that something was very, very wrong. I went up there and discovered that there was a wildfire to the east of us, and it was a fire that actually ranged for many miles along its front before the day was done. And it was burning toward us at a high rate of speed. And as we were standing there talking about it, burning embers began to fall out around us. These are bits of twigs and leaves and all sorts of natural matter, bark and so forth, that's on fire and travels in the high atmosphere at high rate of speed by the wind, which was above us but not at ground level. But when the wind of the fire created by the fire begins to peter out, these embers start falling down to the ground, and of course they set things on fire. And in this community we all had shake shingle roofs, so those roofs were very easily set on fire. So we all fled from the stables back to our houses, hooked up hoses, and had to climb onto the roofs to water the roofs down. And I went into Jerda and said, you better start packing things, because it looks to me like we might have to pull out of here later in the day if this isn't stopped. So I watered down my roof, and while I'm not a guy who likes to fly, I can climb around a roof or any other kind of heights and not be alarmed by it. And I had no sooner watered down my roof than a neighbor, whom I'll call Henry, came over to me and said, I've got this terrible back, and I can't get up on my roof. Will you water down my roof? Now, I have to give you a little background of Henry here first so you understand the rest of this. Henry was a guy who loved to play tennis and loved to ride horses and do all sorts of things, but it always seemed that if there was some neighborhood project that people threw in together on, or something needed done between neighbors, that back always flared up. And it never flared up when there was a tennis date or when there was a horse riding, but always when there was something to do. So I just grinned and bore it and said, sure. And I got up on his roof and was watering down his roof. And he had this ladder, aluminum ladder, that he had propped up against the roof. Now, this is a two-story house in a Tudor style with steep pitched roof. So scrambling around these roofs to make sure that every slope of them gets watered is quite a task, and it takes quite a while because by this time there is a wind going at ground level and it's drying things out very fast, so you want to soak those shingles. So I was scrambling up there, watering down those shingles and finished the whole roof, and then did one of the dumber things of my life. And given the number of dumb things I've done in my life, to be in the top five is a major achievement for a dumb act. I threw down the hose because I'd finished with the roof, and it snaked away down the roof, spraying water. And I didn't wait for the hose to fall completely off the roof. I started walking. Well, when I was walking, I wasn't walking anymore on wet shingles. I was walking on that running water that the hose was spraying under my feet as it slid away, and it was like the equivalent of walking on a sheet of ice. So my feet went out from under me. With legs spread wide in a comic pratfall, I fell onto my back and slid down probably a 40-foot slope of cedar shingles directly toward my neighbor Henry, who is standing there with the ladder. Now, he's standing on the ladder to see what I'm doing up there, and I can see his head just above the eaves and then a couple of the rungs, few rungs of the ladder. And I'm sliding on my back with my legs spread directly toward him. Apparently, he saw the disastrous consequences of that and ducked. I don't remember seeing that. I hit the ladder with my crotch. This is an indelicate story in some regards. Hit the ladder with my crotch, and it was an aluminum ladder, and I'm not bragging here. I'm merely telling the truth. It snapped off where I hit it. I flew over Henry's head and crashed to the sidewalk, flat on my back with part of the ladder in my lap. Neighbors came running. Of course, it looked like I had probably broken my back, and I was laying there on the ground thinking, maybe I have broken my back. Maybe I'm paralyzed for life, but I don't feel anything. I felt no pain whatsoever. And neighbors by that point were all around me saying, don't get up, don't get up. And they wanted to call an ambulance. And I said, no, I think I'm fine. I think I can get up. And I took the portion of the ladder out of my lap and tossed it aside and stood up, and I felt perfectly all right. Nothing wrong, no pain, no stiffness, no anything. And I said, I've got to get back and water down our roof. And everybody said, well, okay. And then I started to walk away, and one neighbor said, you better might want to change clothes. And I said, oh, why? And he said, well, sort of look behind if you can. And I fell back and discovered that sliding down 40 feet of cedar shingles had shredded my shirt, my T-shirt, the back of my jeans, the buttocks of the jeans, and my underpants. So the middle of me was completely exposed in the back, except for a belt sort of holding all the clothes together. And, of course, there was some scratching of skin and on the butt and the back, so there was bleeding. But not terrible, and I wasn't feeling anything because the adrenaline must have been pumped up, but slightly embarrassed running around with my back end exposed. And I went back home, and Gerda was piling boxes in the foyer, getting ready to haul out the important stuff, which is never anything of value in these cases. It's things like mementos and pictures and all that you wouldn't want to lose because you'd be losing your past. And I came in, and I said, gee, I was up on Henry's roof, and I threw down the hose, and I go through a real quick rendition of this, and she gives me this steady look and says, my God, was Henry hurt? Now, I thought she should have been a little more concerned about me, but then I realized why she was concerned that Henry might be hurt. She was concerned that had I taken must Henry's hair by breaking off the top of the ladder, we might have ended up with a serious lawsuit, because that would have been a little bit in character as well. And I said, no, he's not, but then she saw my back, and she said, oh, we got to put something on. I said, no, I got to get change clothes and get back on the roof. So I got back on the roof, watered the roofs, and the neighbors were watering the roofs, and the fire department came through. A lot of people were getting neighbors' horses out, because that's a great problem in a fire, because the horses, you don't want to lose them, and they oftentimes can't take care of themselves in that circumstance. And you can't turn them loose to run out on a highway or something. So there was quite a lot of community effort to get animals out and whatnot, and we were watering one another's roofs. And the day passed that way, and the fire department came through at one point and ordered us out and mandatory evacuation. But as happens in these things, sometimes people ignore them, and we did. The consequence of the day was other neighborhoods all around us lost houses, some neighborhoods considerable number, but because our neighborhood pulled together and everybody worked on the houses of people who were away for the day, and everybody covered everybody, we ended up having absolutely no house loss in our neighborhood. And we all gathered at our house that evening for a potluck dinner of what everybody could bring, and we were all exhausted but relieved, and it turned out that my neighbor Henry had borrowed that ladder from somebody else, a man on another street who had been away that day, and Henry had gone and borrowed it from his wife, and the fellow whose ladder it was a sort of argumentative gentleman, always angry about something, and he came up to me at this potluck dinner glowering and said, I understand you broke my ladder, and that was what Henry had told him. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to pay you for your letter. I think Henry will have to do that. And everything seemed amazingly well. It seemed a miracle that I escaped from this. But then I woke up the next morning, and there was a part of my anatomy. I said this was an indelicate story, but there was a part of my anatomy that should not have looked like two large purple navel oranges, but did. And I had to lay flat on my back for the next week and receive medical care, but somehow came through all of that, even in spite of the fact that Henry insisted on coming over and sitting with me for an hour one day, which was the longest hour of my life. So I have a lot of memories of fires that we have escaped, but that one's probably the best one, and I have great sympathy for everybody who goes through these and loses a great deal. And we were very fortunate that day that we didn't lose anything except the back of the shirt and the back of the pair of jeans. Thank you for listening to my podcast. My new book is The Darkest Evening of the Year. And if you want to know more about my work, about that book, about anything related to what I do, come to deankuntz.com and pay a visit.